It's a blessing to be together and to worship. I feel like with the service we've had already this morning, I wouldn't need to share. But I feel like the Lord has given me something and I want to seek his face this morning and see what he has for us. This morning I'd like to talk about ye shall be witnesses. And it's from the Great Commission. And it's something that the Lord has been doing a deeper work in my heart. And I really feel if we could really grasp hold of what it is to be a witness for the Lord, to be that light that he's called us to be, to go out and spread his word, we could make more of an impact on the people around us, in our communities, in our neighborhood, our families, in the church. So that's the burden of my heart this morning. Why don't we just bow for a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, we just come to you this morning. Father, we thank you for being here with us. Lord, we have your word. We've had your word since the beginning of our time, even before our lifetime, Father. We had your word. We read it every Sunday, Father, and yet every Sunday, Father, you have a new word in there for us. You have a new inspiration. So, Father, as we come to you this morning, we ask that you would come, bless this service. Help us as we look into your word, that you would show us new truths, that we could be able to learn from you this morning, Father. I ask that you would just also be with Brother Eli. He can't be here this morning. Lord, I ask that you would touch his heart, touch his, you know, what's ailing him, different problems he has in his body. I ask that you would just bless him and be with him very closely this morning as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all can open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 for an opening scripture. Acts chapter 1, and we'll start reading in verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And that's God's great commission for us. He's called us to go be a witness for him. As I look at what Jesus has called us to do, I ask myself the question, three things. One, what am I doing? Number two, are my actions, is my mission in line with what God has called me to do? So a couple aspects I'd like to look at this morning. Number one is, what is a witness? What does a witness for Jesus look like? Number two, who is called to be a witness? Number three, where are we called to witness? And the last one, is the Great Commission my mission? Or what is my heart panting after? So as we look at what is a witness, a witness is someone that bears testimony to something that has happened. So who here has been born again, has your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb? Amen. So there's something that has happened in our life. That's something that we have, we can share, something that we can bear testimony of. Being a witness is to attest to give evidence, to be evidence, proof of, testify to bear witness, to give evidence. Are we giving evidence of Jesus Christ in our life on a daily basis to our neighbors, to the people we meet in town? Am I giving evidence of the change of heart that I've had? Witness also is the same Greek word. If farther on in Acts, when it talks about Stephen being a martyr, it says, my martyr Stephen. That martyr is the exact same word as witness. So witness and martyr, it's being a witness to the point of giving our life. So it's not just a, oh yes, I'm a Christian. It's being a witness to the point of giving my life. Stephen was a martyr. He was a witness for Jesus. Those who, after Jesus' example, have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by undergoing a violent death. Ye shall be witnesses. Okay, let's turn to Acts chapter 26 and take a look at Paul's testimony. What kind of testimony did Paul have? Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 13. So here, we're sort of breaking in the middle of the chapter here, but it was when Paul was, he had gone to Jerusalem and was doing his purification with his friends, his brothers, and the Jews, they came and wanted to kill him, and after they wanted to kill him, he ended up going in jail. He didn't get killed, but then he went up to Caesarea, and he was tried by, I believe it was Festus, and then King Agrippa, and here, King Agrippa was trying him, and Paul was sharing his testimony with King Agrippa. So, let's break into verse 13 here. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. What is he going to do? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So here, Paul had an amazing story, amazing testimony that he was sharing with King Agrippa. Are we sharing our testimony? You know, Paul, he was going hard after the churches. He was persecuting them to the uttermost. He was sticking them in jail. He was going far out, and he was serving Satan, going this way. And he made a 180-degree turn, and now he's serving Jesus in 3 days. I mean, it's amazing. It's a miraculous testimony. God shone his light down from heaven, and they all fell down flat. And God's like, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He's like, Lord, who art thou? And it's amazing what the change of heart that has happened, that happened in Paul's life in 3 days. And here he was sharing that with King Agrippa. Are we sharing our testimony with those that we come in contact with? You know, one thing that's been a hindrance for me as I look at sharing my testimony, I see men like Paul. I see men like other great men of faith, other people that have been into horrible sins, and they have this miraculous testimony. But here I am. What has God done for me? But don't let anybody tell you that a soul that's been washed away by the blood of the Lamb is not worth sharing about. If you have your sins washed away and you're born again, you have peace with God, brothers and sisters, that's something worth sharing about. It doesn't have to be some miraculous story. Yes, those miraculous stories are good and they're amazing stories, but if God has come and he has changed our heart, he has changed our life, that's what being a witness is. We're supposed to share that with other people. You know, there's many people today that are hurting, many people that need help. Are we helping? Are we showing the way to them? About a week and a half ago, there was a guy in the local area, I know him, and he's actually married to our neighbor girl. We got word that she was with her parents for the day, and he was going to come over for supper that evening. Supper time came. He didn't show up. Okay, well, they're building a new house, so he's probably working on the house. So they ate supper. Time went on. Later on in the evening, he still didn't show up. 9:30 rolls around. No Chris. So they start looking for him. And he wasn't anywhere to be found. They came home on the kitchen table. There was a note there. Note said, "I'm lonely, discouraged, don't have friends, etc., etc., etc." The one version I heard, there was some bullet shell sitting there too. Gone. Are we sharing our testimony? Are we reaching out to those people? There's many people like that in our neighborhood, on the job, maybe even in our families, people that are hurting, people that need hope. The story goes, they looked for him for a couple hours, and finally he ended up answering his phone, and they found him with a bike, with a cart, and a gun in the cart. Thankfully, he didn't kill himself, but he was that close, contemplating death. He was discouraged. He lost hope. Those are the people that we're supposed to be a witness to. Are we reaching out to those people? I like for us to think a little bit about a soldier. So it's interesting. Different times I go flying, walking through the airport, it's not uncommon for me to see a soldier. You'll just be walking through and there'll be these people milling past and, oh, there's a soldier, okay. Like it sort of jolts you a little bit. You keep going and you can easily pick him out. You can easily spot him. You know, he's giving evidence to, he's bearing witness for the U.S. Army. And typically, if you talk to soldiers, they're proud of it as well. If you ever talk with soldiers, they have a lot of stories to tell. Missions that they've been on, scary things, rough things that they've accomplished. Typically, a soldier doesn't have a life of ease. It's a life of discipline and just grit, discipline. They've been through a lot. But you can easily pick them out. You can spot them. Can people see by the way that we conduct our lives, by the way we walk, by the way we dress, by the way we talk? You know, we're not just the average Joe at the hardware that's always cursing and has dirty language. Can people see by the way that we conduct our lives that we are a servant of Jesus? We're following Jesus. We're being that witness that he has called us to be. giving evidence of Jesus. That's one of the things being a witness is, giving evidence. Are we giving evidence to Jesus in our hearts, in our lives? So, I was going to draw a man, but I'm not really good at drawing a man, so I'm just going to draw a smiley face here for lack of my inabilities to draw. So, okay, there's our man. This is a witness for Jesus. So as we think of a witness for Jesus, what are some characteristics? What are some fruits? What are things that you will find, things that you will see in the life of a person that is a witness for Jesus? Anybody? Peace? We can get this thing down. There we go. Peace? Joy? Kindness? Have respect. Respectful. Compassion. Very good. More. Caring. A ready answer. Very good. A smile. Amen. A smile can go a long ways. Unselfish. That's very good. Many people today that are selfish. Any more? Willing to sacrifice. Love. Another one that I thought about is humility. Any more? Honesty. Very good. Many people today that are dishonest, you can't trust them. Patient? Patient. Generous? Forgiving. Anymore. Okay, so as we look at this list right here, practically, every day, can people see Jesus? Can people see Jesus in the peace that I have? Is there peace coming out of my life? And can people see by the peace that I have? You know, there's a lot of unrest, a lot of people that aren't peaceful today. They watch the news and they're all worked up about the war over in Africa. But do we have a peace? Do we have the peace of Jesus in our life? Joy. Can people see Jesus with the joy that I have? We can be joyful about things, even though hard things come. We can be joyful. Kind. Respectful. Compassion. Can people see Jesus by the compassion that I have for them? Caring. Okay, wait. I put ready here. A ready answer. A ready answer. Do we have a ready answer for people to ask us about our faith? Do we have a smile? Can people see Jesus? Do I have unselfishness and people can see Jesus through my unselfishness? Willing to sacrifice. Love. You know, there's a lot of people that look out for themselves today. They love themselves more than they love other people, and they love God. Can people see Jesus through the love that I have? Do I have so much love that they can see Jesus through that? Humility. Am I always the one that has to have my way? Am I always the one that's proud, arrogant, boastful? Can people see Jesus? Are we giving evidence to Jesus in our life through our humility, through our honesty, through our patience that we have, through our generosity, forgiving, letting things go? When people hurt us, when people do things to maybe intentionally or unintentionally, that we can forgive them. Are we being that witness for Jesus? I have a poem I'd like to read. A witness for Jesus is like a flame burning brightly in a world of shame. A light shining in the darkness, guiding lost souls to forgiveness. Their voice carries a message of hope, a message of love, and a way to cope with the trials and tribulations of life and the temptations that lead to strife. They speak with a gentle strength and share the good news at any length, for they know that in Christ alone is where true peace and joy are sown. A witness for Jesus is like a friend who stays with you until the very end, encouraging you to trust in God's plan and reminding you of his loving hand. Their faith is an inspiration. Their humility, a demonstration of what it means to live a life committed to Jesus as their guide. May we all be witnesses for him. May we shine his light, whether bright or dim, and lead others to the one who saves, the one who conquered death and the grave. Are we bringing life to those around us, those who I come in contact with? Are we lifting them up? Are we sharing our testimony with them? Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So, who is called to be a witness? Is it just the preachers? Is it just the old people? Just the ones that are mature enough? Well, let's look. Let's turn back to Acts chapter 1. We might be able to find our answer in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. So do we have the Holy Ghost? Have we been born again? Have we had our sins washed away? That's who he's calling to be a witness. Great or small, young or old, if you have a change of heart, you know, it comes back to our testimony. If God has done a work in our heart, if he has done a work in our life, are we bearing evidence of that? Are we sharing the good news of salvation? Are we attesting to? Are we bearing proof of? Are we testifying, showing, and demonstrating? Youth, you can be a great example. You can be a great witness in today's society. You know, a couple of years ago, we were up in New York City, and someone came to our group, and they were just amazed at all the youth that would come all the way from Ohio, Holmes County, up to New York City to share the gospel. You know, there's many youth today that are out there sowing their wild oats. They're living for the flesh, living for their self, living for going after money, seeking after pleasures. But youth, I've been inspired by you. Keep up the good work. Keep pressing into it. Having youth that are serving the Lord is inspiring, and that's a blessing, and it stands out. It stands out in our community. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." You know, David, he was just a youth, but he went and killed the giant, killed Goliath. There was nothing that was going to stop him from doing what God called him to do. Youth, you can do it. Press into it. A youth, having youth that are sold out for God is something that stands out. So Lord bless you. Lord bless you, youth. Moms, you have a huge part to play in being a witness. As I look over my life, you know, I wouldn't be at the place where I'm in if it wouldn't be for my mom. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." You know, the faith, Timothy's faith got passed down from his grandmother Lois to his mother Eunice and then to him. And so moms, you have a great impact on your children. Mom, I just want to thank you for all that you've taught me. Mom taught me, just to name a couple things. Number one, taught me about God. Obedience. Obedience to God. Obedience to my parents. She taught me diligence. She taught me to have a good attitude. You know, when things, I could have been complaining, Mom taught me to have a good attitude. Mom taught me persistence and commitment, even though the going was rough. In the heat of the day, when things were hard, Mom taught me persistence and commitment. Thank you, Mom. You know, sometimes you mothers might be tempted to get discouraged. It's just day to day, daily things. Dirty diapers, making food, doing the laundry. But you know, serving at home, helping your children, teaching them the things of God, that's just as important, if not more important, than being out on the front lines and sharing abroad. You have a great impact for the next generation. I want to bless you for that. Fathers, men, are we being the witness that God has called us to be? So in Acts, it talks about witnessing and being a witness to the point of death. But in Mark, if you look at the Great Commission, God actually calls us to preach. Actually, let's just turn there. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Starting in verse 15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So as I look at the two different accounts here, I feel like witnessing is a very important thing, and also preaching. They go hand in hand. I feel the witnessing is for everybody. The preaching, obviously, is a little bit more for the men. The men are the ones that are to be out and more in the public. So men, are we preaching? Are we heralding to publish? Preaching is to publish, proclaim openly. Are we proclaiming openly about what God has done in our lives, in our families' lives, sharing the hope of Jesus to those around us? Are we fulfilling our responsibility in being a preacher and being a witness to the people around us, pointing people to Jesus? You know, We have lots of opportunities on the jobs, with our fellow employees, our employers. Are we bringing the light of Jesus to them? Are we, through our peace, through our joy, through our kindness, through our unselfishness, willing to sacrifice, through our honesty, men on the workplace, are we being honest? Can people see by our honesty that we are a true Christian? If we see people that are discouraged, are down and out, are we going to them? Are we seeking them out? Are we trying to lift their loads? Are we sharing what Jesus has done in our hearts? You know, sometimes it's easy. Okay, I have been very blessed by people that have come to me and just shared their life experiences, shared how God has worked in their heart, and it's encouraged me. Are we doing that to other people? Ye shall be witnesses. Men, at home with our children. Dads, your impact level is right there with the moms. Your children for the next generation. You know, one huge thing that stands out about my dad is he never got mad. He should have had plenty of reasons to get mad. There's many things that I did. I destroyed a lot of stuff. I messed up a lot of stuff, made a lot of boo-boos. But Dad never got mad. Well, if he did, I never found out. And that's something that really stands out to me. Fathers, are we showing Jesus to our children on a daily basis, on a daily level, in these practical things? Are we showing Jesus to them? Am I the person that I would want to meet on the job or in town, lifting others' loads? I'd like for us to just take a minute. Think back over the last month or two. Is there someone in specific that's been an encouragement to you? Maybe they said encouraging words. Maybe they helped you out with something. Maybe they just came and were with you. Maybe something that encouraged you or inspired you. Can you think of something like that? Someone like that? So the impact that that had on your life in an encouraging, a blessing, an uplifting way. Are we being that to the people around us? To our neighbors, to our children, to the people on the workplace. Are we being the one that's helped lifting others' loads? Where are we called to be a witness? Well, let's go back and look in Acts chapter 1 again. It says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So, I'd like to draw a little bit on the board here, if I can find it, a little map of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. So, we have Jerusalem here. Okay, Jerusalem's here. Judea was the country or the area that it was in. So we go here. This is a pretty crude drawing here. Go over here, come down over here. So this is Judea. And then Samaria was up here. And Matt could probably give us a little better sketch here of what it actually looked like, but I don't know. It's something sort of like that. So Samaria is up here. So we're supposed to witness first in Jerusalem and then in Judea, which was the outlying area around Jerusalem, and in Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. So, obviously we're not over there. So, where is our Jerusalem? Holmes County, Millersburg. So let's just put down Holmes County here. Judea, let's put in Ohio. Samaria, the surrounding state. So, you know, sometimes for me earlier on in my life, I used to think that being a missionary was people that would go out in a far country. People that would go over in the mission field over in Africa somewhere, and those were the missionaries. But God, He's called us to be a witness for Him. He's called us to preach the gospel in Holmes County, in Ohio, and the surrounding states out around Ohio, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. That's a challenge for me. Are we doing that? Are we starting in Holmes County and Ohio and the surrounding states? And then sometimes it's easy for us to just focus on the uttermost parts of the world. Those are the most exotic places to go to. Those are the most adventuresome. But are we focusing on what's right around us? We have a mission field right here in Holmes County. Are we being that witness for Jesus? Is the Great Commission my mission? What is my core purpose and my goal in life? Is my heart beating after God, or is it beating after the things of this world? What is a mission? A mission is an important goal or a purpose that's accompanied by a strong conviction, a calling, or a vocation. You know, it's amazing what people can get done if they have a vision, if they have a mission for something. There's a local guy by the name of Dave. He's a runner. And we used to do some business with him back and forth. And so I know him if I see him, but that's about it. But he inspired me by his goal and his vision he had. He was a runner. Not only was he a runner, but he was a triathlon runner. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that, but a triathlon is where you swim, you bike, and you run back to back to back. It's not just a marathon. It's swimming, biking, and running. And he did this. He was really good at it. He did, I don't know, maybe a couple a year. Not only was he a triathlon runner, he had a goal. He had told us, I forget his exact age that he was aiming for, but he had set a goal like, we'll say 38. He had set a goal to, at the age of 38, to be able to do a half Ironman. Now, a half Ironman is swimming for 1.2 miles, it's a 56-mile bike ride, and a 13-mile run. So imagine with me, if this would be water out here, we could swim, starting out here, swimming all the way across 515, up past Mom and Dad's place, up the hill, around the curve, all the way out to the last place on the left before you get to the big open field there. That's 1.2 miles, swimming that far, getting up out of the water, getting on your bike, biking from here all the way up through Canton, Akron, up to Cuyahoga Falls, and then getting off your bike and running from here out through Millersburg, out to the New Point Church House, all back to back to back. You talk about a guy that had a goal. He was driven, and his drive and his energy inspired me. And I was thinking about that. You know, I asked myself the question, what's driving me? Do I have Jesus as the center of my focus? Am I disciplining myself to become a better follower of Jesus like that runner? You know, he had a goal in mind. He had, so take with me a circle like this, a scope. He had his scope dialed in. He had his scope dialed in to, at the age of 38, to be able to get all that stuff accomplished. There were things that he wasn't going to do. so he could get to there. He was going to do lots of training. You know, it wasn't uncommon to see him running down the road. He would go to the gym. He would do exercises. He would swim. He would build his body up. He would eat healthy. He would also spend time with people that were doing the same thing so he could stay motivated, so he could stay focused. I'm guessing he probably didn't eat junk food every day. Probably didn't eat candy bars. Probably didn't fill up on McDonald's fries every day. I know for a fact that he actually didn't have a full-time office job so he could stay. He was actually the owner of a business, didn't have a full-time office job so he could stay physically fit to accomplish his goal. So I look at that, and you take people like that, and they have a drive, they have a passion, they have a goal. What is my goal? Where is my scope dialed into? Is Jesus at the center of my focus? Is the Great Commission, what Jesus had called us to do, is that my mission? Are there things in my scope? Are there things in my field of view that are hindering me? Am I filling up on a lot of French fries? Am I filling up on junk food? Or am I surrounding myself with Christians? Am I reading the Word? Am I staying in line with what God has called us to do here? You know, it's a mission. It's God's great commission for us. There's a quote from Ziegler that always sort of intrigued me and inspired me. It says, "You hit what you aim at. And if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time." Let me read that again. "You hit at what you aim at. And if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time." What are we aiming at? Is God, is God's word, is God's commission to us, is that in our scopes? Or are there other things? Has it shifted away from God? Has it shifted onto other things? You know, let's just read the verse there again in Acts, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world." Those were Jesus' last words to us. If those were his last words to us, it must be important. Are we doing that? Are we filling his calling? Are we filling his commission, his purpose, what he wants us to be doing? Are we doing that? You know, John 6 says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life." Let's also remember Jesus' words that says, "That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." You know, that's a challenge for me. Are there things in my scope that are highly esteemed among men? That's an abomination to God. Let's make sure that we have our sights set on Jesus. "Ye shall be witnesses." Let's be that witness that Jesus has called us to be, bearing testimony of what has happened in my life, giving evidence to those around me that we've been with Jesus. Can people see that we've been with Jesus? Helping those that are discouraged, you know, the ones that are down and out, the ones that have lost hope, like my neighbor, the ones that don't have friends, sharing the gospel, reaching out and helping those. You know, if we can really get a hold of that, you know, I've been inspired, blessed, and challenged with the group of people we have here. I feel like we're doing a really good job. But I feel like if we could take another step farther, if we could take just another step farther, God, there's more for us. There's more people to be won to the kingdom of God. I feel if we could really get a hold of this, we could have a greater impact on our community, on our neighborhood, the people we work with. So, an assignment for this week, if we could just take one thing one thing off the list here, and let's apply that to our life. Let's let people see Jesus. Let's give evidence of Jesus in our heart with one of these things. Just one thing. Too many you'll forget, but pick one thing off the list, and let's make sure that people can see Jesus through the peace, through the joy, through the honesty that we have. One assignment for this week. Ye shall be witnesses. Are we being that witness for Christ? May the Lord bless you. If we could, for the last song, sing 906, I feel like that really goes good with the message. God bless you.